The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
So I just want to read again for our prayers of confession, Psalm 19, 12 to 13. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. So if we just keep that before us and just reflect on this, and may this be our prayer of confession to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that you forgive us when we confess our sins. Amen. So I just want to talk about this song. It's been on my heart for a while, which is, it's really been speaking to me. So don't think that because I think I'm all good with this topic. No, it's a journey I've been on, and I hope you don't mind me sharing with you some of my thoughts. So I hope to do this kind of like one would do an English assignment, analysing and breaking down the message in this song. And I really didn't like this kind of thing at school, but here I am trying to do it now. So the first bit of the song, they've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. Made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I'd never been. And they've dragged me down back to where I began. So in this part of the song, they refers to the words that are spoken. And I love how he clarifies this with the build up to the chorus. Words can build you up. Words can break you down, start a fire in your heart, or put it out. I don't especially want to focus on this part of the song, as I feel it's probably something we're all too familiar with in one way or another, whether on the receiving end or the one speaking and feeling the regret that may come with those words. But I will touch on it because it gives a motivation to the rest of what I want to share. So what does the Bible say about words that we speak? So Proverbs 15, 1 to 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness. Matthew 12, 36 to 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by words you will be justified, and by words you will be condemned. And then Ecclesiastes 12, 10 to 11. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. It's interesting to take note here what a goad is. The words of the wise are like goads. So one definition I found for a goad was a pointed rod used to urge on an animal, or something that urges or stimulates into action. Other synonyms for goad are provoke, or spur, prod, hound, badger, and incite. So it is a metaphor of guidance. So next the scripture says, words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by the shepherd. So Solomon in Ecclesiastes is saying it is advisable to listen to and acknowledge the goads of life, and that one should anchor and secure their life with the nails of God's truth, his words in scripture. So we have the words of the shepherd supplied to us in our Bibles to help secure and anchor one another. So hopefully you get where I'm coming from. We don't want to be goads that cause depression, fear, disillusionment, or anger. For example, picture a cattle prod when used in a nasty person's hand. Instead of guiding and helping the cattle, all chaos, distress, and fear results. There is no place of security and no atmosphere of trust where well-driven nails, such as mentioned in the scripture above, they're not used in those instances. So it brings me to the next part of the song, the chorus. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. I don't know about you, but I'm a person who likes to talk a bit. My husband, Alan, can be the other extreme sometimes. I remember at our wedding, my uncle, who married us, said he found Alan to be a man of few words, but made the point, still waters run deep. So the point is, no matter how many or how few words we do speak, we should be aiming for them to be helpful words, words of truth. Words that encourage and point the world to the Lord. It isn't about quantity, but quality and the depth of meaning and sincerity. So the scripture, Psalm 119:11, tells us to keep the word of God hidden in our heart that we might not sin against him. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, as the song says, we should be striving to have our words point the world to God. And as the scripture says, we should be helping each other as well. As the scripture above suggests, one way to do that is to actually use the word of God, scripture, to teach and admonish or warn of something to be avoided, and sing spiritual songs. I am very partial to scripture in song form, for it's easy to remember, and when paired with music, it can be very impactful. As well as having scripture to song, studying the Bible and being able to apply scripture to everyday life and living can be useful to not only ourselves but others. And I know with my KYB group, we might take a little while getting through each study, twice as long as some other groups, but we're actually discussing the scripture and applying it to our lives and, you know, sharing with one another and encouraging one another in doing that. And it's just wonderful. But through learning to have scripture actually applicable to your own life, it can help prompt sharing the scripture to others when you can see similar situations. And we kind of do that in Bible study. We all have things happen to us. And it can be a form of a testimony or mentioning a difficult situation to someone and make note how perhaps a particular Bible verse helped and encouraged you. So sharing that to the non-saved may not be received positively all the time, but we be kind, not forceful, and we can trust the Lord and his word. I'm often reminded of this by the scripture in Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but they water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So we do need to trust his word to be able to do that for others. I was advised to include scriptures as a young song leader, and today I have really taken this literally. Surely God can use his words today with the scriptures that I've included. I don't want this to be my message, but words from the Lord. I did look up this verse online, and I found a really good in-depth discussion of God's word not returning void, and I really don't want to change it. So I will just quote what was written and acknowledge it came from a website, gotquestions.org. It would be no good for an English assignment to be full of plagiarism. Now would it? So when God says that his word will not return to him void, we can know that he has an intention for his word. God's word is from above. He breathed out his words to us, and they were recorded in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. Every word he gave humanity is purposeful and was given for a reason. Like rain and snow, God's word bring forth life and produce good fruit in our lives. Through his word, we know that God loves us and that Jesus died to free us from sin and death. We also learn how to live in light of those truths. When God says his word will not return to him void, we are encouraged to abide in his word, allowing it to absorb in our lives, soaking it up as the ground soaks up the rain and snow. The truth will not return void as our hearts are changed. God's word rebukes us and corrects us when we are wrong, and it trains us in godly living. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. His word is a light guiding us in the dark world. It is relevant to every pressing and practical problem. God's word will always accomplish what he desires, whether it is teaching, correcting, training, leading us to him, revealing our sin, or some other good and profitable end. And then when God says his word will not return to him void, we understand that God is sovereign. The promise is that God's word will accomplish what he wants it to, not necessarily what we want it to. We may share the word with the purpose of changing someone's mind, and the person's mind does not change. Was God's word void? No. But our personal goals may have been different from God's. God may use his word in surprising ways at surprising times and in surprising people. God's word will always prosper. God's word will succeed, and those who receive his word will be overcomers as well. So the last part of this song, without the chorus section, is you can heal the heartache, speak over the fear. God, your voice is the only thing we need to hear. I want to speak your love, not just another noise. Oh, I want to be your light. I want to be your voice. We have already established the power of God's word and the importance of using his word and trusting them. We must not underestimate the power of our negative words as well, but instead be gentle and kind with Christ-centered motivation. So this concludes my analysis of these lyrics and some interpretation of them using God's words. I hope that these words today have been helpful and inspiring for you as they have been for me. I know we have some challenging time ahead of us as a church without an established leader. But hopefully with God and his word as our shepherd and true leader, we will be able to support each other. I pray we can hide his word in our hearts so as to not sin against God, but also to be the light and voice to the world he wants us to be. I hope we can become vessels for the Holy Spirit to work through in order to touch hearts and give freedom from any strongholds of the enemy. God has given the commandment to bear and produce fruit. How can we do this? We should want people to see the Lord in our lives, as that might be the only Bible they get to read. This can be a part of the process of bearing fruit. Remember, fruit does not just come from nowhere. A seed is planted, watered, provided sunlight, sometimes weeded if it's lucky, before it will grow and can produce fruit. We may never see actual produce, however in a church one would hope we would. We should be encouraged that any small effort can be a part of the cycle of producing fruit. So thanks, Naomi, for your effort and everyone else who's been a part of today. And prayer is also important. I know that there's been prayer for me today as well. So every part is important. We all need each other, but most importantly, God. So let's start this journey together and use words that can build and lift each other up, but most importantly, draw the world to the Lord. Amen.